We're on page 732, Perek Beis. We got last week up to the travelings of the Jews. We said there's a lot to talk about on the flags and the various different camps that the Jews had. Okay, let's just. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe v'alad, and then Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron, saying, "Ish al digloi be'esis leveisa veisam. Each man, the children of Israel, shall encamp. Each man by his banner. Leveisa veisam to the father's house, the insignia of the father's house. Yachnu b'nei Yisrael, the Jews should camp. Mineged saviv le'el med yachnu, they should camp, surround at a distance. We'll soon see how far that was." Around the camp. Okay? So now we're starting the parsha. We're going to talk about this outside before we see it inside, because inside there's not too much to learn, because it's basically names and numbers. When the Jews camp. What? It's possible. Are you cold?
Let's try it. It's a little bit cold.
Okay, you can close the door. And you know what? I won't yell at you. Yet. Yet. When it gets hot in here, I'll yell at you.
Oh, no. I'll just open it.
Okay. The Jews encamped, it worked like this. The Mishkan was in the middle. Okay? The Mishkan was in the middle of the whole Jewish camp. Around the Mishkan lived the Levium. Okay. On all four sides. Moshe, Aaron, and their children on one side. Then Levi had three sons. Kohath,
Aaron.
Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Okay. Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, they were the three sons of Levi. So the children of Kohath, the children of Gershon, and the children of Merari were on the other three sides. Moshe and Aaron and their families were on the eastern side. Okay? Now we'll soon see the eastern side was more prominent than the other side. So you have the Mishkan in the middle, just to get the historical geographic thing over here. The middle was the Mishkan. That was the center of the Klal Yisrael. Around the Mishkan, the Levium camped on four sides. Around them, all the Jews camped. Okay? Now, there are four sections, right? So, 12 tribes. Each section had three tribes. Okay? Now, each one of these was called Degel. There were four camps. Yehuda, Reuven, Dan, Reuven, Ephraim, and Dan. Okay? Now, each one of these had three tribes under them. Because there are 12 tribes altogether, right? So there were four, the Jews camped on the four sides. Each one of these three tribes was called the Degel, had their own flag. In addition to that, every tribe had their own flag. Okay? Every tribe had their own flag. The commentaries elaborate here a lot of the connection between this and the throne of God. On God's throne, there was also four sides of the throne. The Pasuk says in Yechezkel. One side, there was an Aryeh, a lion. One side, there was an axe. One side was the eagle. And one side was the person. Okay? That was on the four sides of Hashem's Merkava. What's interesting is, it says when Hashem came to Matan Torah, it says 22,000 angels came with him. It's based on the Pasuk in Tillim, Rechev Elokim Ribesayim Alfei Shinon Vam Harere Kedish. Pasuk in Tillim, Ribesayim is 2 times 10,000, is 20,000. Alfei, thousands, minimal thousands, is 2. So it says in the Medrash that 22,000 angels came with God when he came down in Har Sinai to give the Torah to the Jewish people. That corresponds with the 22,000 the Levium that we just learned. Well, we didn't learn yet. Soon he's going to say to count the Levium. from a month and older, there were 22,000 Levim. That corresponds, because they served God in the Mishkan, right? Corresponding with that, when God came down, what is his entourage? God's entourage was 22,000 angels. What's God's entourage down here? 22,000 Levim. And soon, Rabbeinu Bechaya goes into a big, beautiful explanation. This whole thing is a little, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time just to go through it. And it all, the four sides represents, the one on the east represents one of the four parts of God's throne. East, west, north, you know, everything corresponds exactly with the throne of God. Because just like there's a throne up there, God has a throne down here, which is the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash. But in the desert, we're talking about the Mishkan. So there are actually four groups, each one of three tribes, and there was a connection between why these tribes were where they were and what they did and all that. Okay, now, the word Isis, it says, Ishal Digli ba'Isis. Isis literally is translated with his banner. Okay, a flag. But Isis also signifies, the Mefarshim explain, that also b'chol avas nafshecha, in Hebrew, ois, and avas, aleph vav sof, is the same word. Avas nafshecha means your desire. Okay? Meaning that the Yidden wanted the flags when they saw the flags of the Malachim. By Matan Torah, when the Jews saw the flags of the Malachim, Rabbeinu Bechaya brings down, they wanted, the avas means desired, they desired to have a similar connection with God, just like the Malachim did. Now, it says like this, Reuven had, there are different opinions over here also, it seemed contradictory, each one had their own color, and each one had their own, what do they call it here, insignia. Each one had their own stamp like the picture, and each thing had their own color.
Each side has only one flag for three.
There was there's one general flag for all three, and then each one had their own. Okay? Now, he says, like, Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun were in the east. So Yehuda's flag was like the heavens, the color of the heaven, and he had a lion on it. Mm-hmm. Yisachar had like the sand, and he had a picture of the sun and the moon on it. Because Yisachar was experts in the astronomy of the world. They were the ones that figured out the Kiddush HaChodesh when you see the moon and the sun and all that. Zvulun had a moon on it because he had white, a sign of wealth. Reuven, Shimon, and Gad were in the south. Reuven had red with a picture of the Dudoyim. You know, Reuven collected the Dudoyim when Leah said, Leah wanted him, and Rachel said, give me, you can have my husband, you can have, right? Reuven collected the Dudoyim, and he brought it home to Leah. So Rachel said, I want the Dudoyim. So she said, okay, you can have my husband instead. So she gave him Yaakov that night. The Dudoyim, Rashi says, is weeds that grow in a field that nobody cares about. Some people translate dandelions. You know, basically, they're weeds. They're not. Yeah, she became pregnant that night from again. Anyway, Shimon had a green color like Shechem, the city of Shechem. God had mixed of white and black, and he had gedudim, the troops on it. The whole thing, he goes through the whole system of each one, what it had. Okay, now, Yehuda traveled on the east. Yehuda was on the eastern side of the Mishkan. Okay, just like inside, Moshe Rabbeinu was on the east. East was more prominent then. So Yehuda was on the east side. And he is likened to the lion of God's throne. Because Yehuda is called Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Yehuda is likened to the lion. So the Degel of Yehuda represents the lion from God's throne. Okay? Now, Yisachar and Zvulun, together with Yehuda, he said, okay, then he goes into, there's a lot of details here. Okay. Afterwards, Reuven was in the south. The Degel of Reuven was in the south. Why? Because Reuven was a tshuva that Hashem did chesed. Okay, over there, Dorim south refers to chesed, because it's on the right side. So Reuven represents tshuva, which is the level of chesed, and therefore, Reuven represents, which one does he represent here? Forgot which one he represents. I think he represents the Adam, and then, yeah, it's the Adam, and then Ephraim was on the Yama on the west, and he represented the level of God, what does he say there?
Had an ox.
Oh, 1 second. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Chayishma machne refol v'dega machne efraim lemayriv. That's the shor. Adam was the level of Reuven. Aryeh was the level of Yehuda. And the last one, Dan, is the level of Chaya. Nesher, the eagle. Okay? So the four... It's just saying a bunch of different places here. The four, the golem represented the four parts of the throne of Hashem. Then he says like this, that there's four famous malachim that correspond with the four chayas of Hashem. There's Raphael, Gavriel, Michal, and Ariel. These are the four main malachim that represent. Each one of these represented one of those malachim. Okay? So he says like this. Okay. Chaya Sheshma Aryeh, that was Yehuda. Chaya Sheshma Shor, that was Gavriel, by the way. Yehuda was Gavriel. Because Yehuda is Gvura, that's Gavriel. Machne Rafal was Dago Machne Ephraim. Michal was Dago Machne Reuven. And then the last one, Uriel, that's the Machne Don. So the Mamish correspond with all these things of Hashem. And he says like this. There were, out of all the 12 tribes, by the way, he says another interesting thing, Rabbeinu Bechaya, that when the Jews dedicated the Mishkan, that we're going to read about in Parshas Nosei, whenever we get there, the 12 tribes bringing the Korbanos to dedicate the Mishkan went exactly in the order of these Degolim. Yehuda was first, then Yisachar, then Zvulun. Then went Reuven, Shimon, and the guys in Reuven. Then went Ephraim, and then went Dan. Okay, so actually everything worked out with this whole order of the Seder, of the way it is in the heaven, the way it is on earth, the way they traveled, and the way they brought Korbanos, it went all according to the Seder. And we'll see later, but he concludes that these four camps corresponded with Yud Kei Vav Kei. One was Yud, one was Hey, one was Vav, and one was Hey. And he shows how the connection is between all of these various different shvatim. And he says, that's interesting, and he says like this, if you look at all the Nesiyim that brought the Korbanos, he says like this, Yehuda was Nachshon ben Aminadav, Nisanel ben Tzuar, okay, and then there was Eliyah ben Chelen, Elitzur ben Shteir, Shlumiel ben Tzri Shaddai, El Yosef ben Deuel, Gamliel ben Pedotzer, Avidam ben Gedeni. So he says like this. There's four Nesiyim that their names ended with the word Kale. Nisanel, Shlumiel, Gamliel, and Pagiel. They're out of all the Nesiim, there are four Nesiim whose names ended with Kel. Okay? There was Nisanel, Shlumiel, Gamliel, and Pagiel. What days did they bring their Korbanos? 2nd, 5th, 8th, and 11th. If you add 2, 5, 8, and 11, it's 26. The Nesiim, that their names ended with the word Kel, they brought the Korbanos on days that altogether equals 26, which is the name of Kel, the name of God. I mean, just remarkable the way everything just...
connected to heaven.
Huh? Yeah, it's all interconnected with the heaven and the earth. The Gemara says Yerushalayim Shalmata, Mechuvan corresponds with the Yerushalayim Shalmaila. There was a Mishkan down here with the things. There's a Mishkan up there with God with the throne and all that, with God in the middle and the throne, everybody around it, and so on and so forth. Zimak, we'll see more details as we go. Now we do it in yourself. You got in the Sham in the middle, and all the things around, and you got holiness, and
you have to make it connect
the dots. What?
Did the Mishkan had a flag of its own?
No.
Did the Mishkan had a mezuzah as well for the entrance door?
Good question. I think there was a discussion, I don't remember, but I remember seeing somewhat a discussion about the mezuzah and the Beis HaMikdash. It could be it was not obligated in the mezuzah, because the truth is, a shul is also not obligated in the mezuzah. People have one, but technically it's not obligated. But I don't know, I can double check. It's an interesting point to really double check, see if it is... Okay, let's first see this inside. Ish adigalbe, okay, v'achenim kedmim mizracha, the ones that went on the east, okay, dago machne Yehuda l'tzevesa, was the tribe of the flag of Yehuda. V'nasi livnei Yehuda, nachshim min aminadav, the head of Yehuda was nachshim min aminadav, he's the one that jumped into the sea, as everybody knows. Utzvayu pukudehem, and is above is Shivim Elif is Sheish Meis. How many people in Yehuda's camp? 74,000. No, just in the tribe of Yehuda. 74,600. V'chenim alamati Yisachar, together with him was Yisachar. V'nasi livnei Yisachar, Nesano ben Tzuar, was Nesano ben Tzuar. Tzvav could of his amount, above v'chamishim Elif abameis, 54,400. Zvulun Nasil Zvulun Aliyah ben Chelun for Bukud of Shiva Chamishim Elav Abameis, 57,400. Kol Apukudim Lamachni Yehuda. So how much was in the whole camp of these three tribes in Yehuda? Maas Elav 100,000. Ushmeinim Elav 80,000. 6,400. So Yehuda's Degel of those three tribes had 186,400 people. Rishayin. Males between 20 and 60, yeah. Yishayni Yisoh, they're the first ones to travel.
When the ladies, they're not moving with the Mishkan?
Oh yeah, sure they moved.
So you see, if why they connected, they say...
No, just how much they counted with the men. Now Rashi says over here, even though the Pasuk really says it later. Now what happens like this, there were seven clouds camping with the Jews. They had one in each direction, north, west, south, and east, enclosing the Jews from all sides, one at the bottom, and one on top. That's six. There was a seventh, relax, seventh. The seventh one was in front of the Jews. That was the one that led the way. In other words, when that cloud stopped, the Jews knew where to stop. When it came time to go, when Hashem wanted the Jews to travel, like it says, Pi Hashem Yachnu, they traveled when Hashem said so. The cloud got up, formed a certain shape. The Jews knew, okay, time to go. Right away, the Levim packed up the Mishkan. Okay? As soon as they saw that the Levim packed up the Mishkan, Yehuda and Reuven traveled first, meaning Dago Machne Yehuda, Dago Machne Reuven, six tribes traveled first, then the Mishkan went, and then the two last camps of another six tribes traveled. So it said whenever traveling was going, Yehuda and Reuven traveled first. Yehuda followed by Reuven.
Mishkan was in the middle. When they
moved. Mishkan was in the middle. Always in the middle.
If the middle, it should be the going side, two side, front and back.
It didn't work like that. When they traveled, the three tribes of Yehuda, yeah. Yisachar and Zvulun, the three tribes of Reuven, they went first. Because they were east, but it could be they were going west, whatever way. The cloud showed them, the seventh cloud showed them exactly when to go and where to go. And then they started blowing, when this happened, like Rashi says, when the cloud left, the Kohanim blew the trumpets, and then Yehuda knew, okay, time to go. But they went, everybody, men, women, children, they all went together. The only ones that were out of the clouds was the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav, they were not inside the clouds at all. They were, because they weren't actually Jews, they were troublemakers. So they were outside of the clouds. In fact, there's an interesting, the Rebbe once told an interesting story. He said, how did they do Kiddush Levana in the desert if they had the clouds over them to block them from the rain, from the sun, and from whatever, to protect them from all the elements? So how did they do Kiddush Levana? So Moshe Rabbeinu came out, waved the handkerchief, the clouds moved, they did Kiddush Levana, and went back.
But they went to Palm Springs.
Or they flew on top of the clouds.
The Erev Rav being outside, was that by circumstance, by choice, by design, by decree?
By decree, not by choice. They didn't want to really.
How long did it take them, Rabbi, to take the Mishkan down and pack it?
It doesn't say.
I mean, it's not like a 1 or 2 day thing.
Sure, it is. It's less.
Really?
Yeah. It was all movable, it was portable. With all the boards that we learned about, was it? They pulled the boards out of the sockets, they put them onto the wagons, and they moved.
Really only took 1 day to dismantle the whole thing?
How long did it take to dismantle?
Use everybody, I guess.
It was called the Levium Moving Company. They're experts.
Six trucks.
The animals went with them.
Outside
with
camp or inside?
It seems that the animals and their possessions were inside the camp.
So the animals were in the club?
Yeah.
Is it that some of the people that stayed behind, that Amalek came against them, being that some Jews stayed behind the cloud?
Outside the cloud.
Outside the cloud.
Right.
Not just Erev Rav.
Right.
If they are fighting with the neighbor, what they do? A cloud is protect them, or what?
That's why in the desert nobody was able to stand up, but nobody even saw them. They were completely protected. The clouds went and straightened out the ground, killed all the snakes and the scorpions. They flattened all the mountains that were there, except Har Ahor and Har Sinai and Har Nevo. These three mountains that Hashem needed to bury Aaron, Moshe, and Har Sinai. Everything else was flattened. They went. The clouds went. They straightened out the place. The clouds washed their clothing. When the Jews went to sleep at night, they hung up their clothing. In the morning, it was washed, pressed, and grew with them. They didn't have to go shopping that much. The clothes grew with them. That's what the Medrash says. They hung up their clothes outside. The Ananim washed it, dried it, pressed it,
and where did they live in Ohalim?
In tents. Yeah. We said the whole camp was 12 mil by 12 mil. No, it's
And once in a while, Rabbi, they lay down to go from, like, pass away, or the older people?
No, they went outside the camp. They buried, when they turned 60, after the spies came back, yeah, and God decreed that you're going to die in the desert in the 40 years, what was the cheshbon of 40 years? Nobody died before 60. Okay? So, That year, on Tisha B'Av, because that's when the spies came back, Tisha B'Av, on Tisha B'Av, anybody that hit 60 that year went out, outside of the camp, dug a grave, lay down, and that was it. Next year, again, those that hit 60, Tisha B'Av, went out to the field, dug their grave, lay down in it, finished.
Who covered them up?
Until the last year when nothing happened.
To the last year, that's why the Simcha of Tu B'Av. Huh?
Who covered them up?
They brought the plows, you know, like in the cemetery.
Until what time they have the clouds to guide them?
The whole 40 years. Until Aaron died. And then Aaron died, and then the problem started. We'll see later in Parshas Chukas.
What happened to the bones, Rabbi?
They're in the ground. They stayed there.
The bones are still in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was telling me that they did there some archaeological search or whatever. They never found any bones or something like that. And then somebody else told me that Hashem took the bones.
I don't know. I just read somewhere that they just found in northern Israel, they say the bones of Sheis Adam's son, and of some of the tribes, Reuven. I don't know how they know who these people are, but I don't know. But, yeah. If you see, one second, I read it online somewhere. If you read, look at all the way at the bottom of 732, this is very interesting. All the way at the bottom of the page of 732, at the bottom, according to, where it says Pasuk Bey, but the bottom line, according to the Medrash, the tribal flags went as follows. Reuven's was red with the insignia of Dudoim, a representation of the flowers he brought to his mother. Shimon's was green, embroidered representation of the city of Shechem. Levi's was white, black, and red with the Urim V'Tumim on it. Yehuda was a sky blue with a lion. Yisachar was blue black with the sun and the moon. Since Yisachar was famous for many scholars who calculated the orbits of the heavenly bodies, fixed the calendars. Zvulun's was white with a ship, because Zvulun went, you know, out in the business. Dan was sapphire with a snake. God was gray with a battalion of soldiers. Naphtali was pale red with a doe. Archer's was a color of flaming olive oil with an olive tree. Both flags of Yasef's tribes were jet black, Ephraim with an axe, Menashe with a ra'im. Binyamin was a mixture of all the other colors with a wolf. Now the banners of the four formations were inscribed letters that in combination spelled out the names of the patriarchs. This is also the Rabbeinu Bachayu says. The first of the four banners bore the letter Aleph Yud Yud. That means Yehuda's flag had Aleph Yud Yud on it, standing for Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. The second had Beis Tzadik Ayin, which is the second letter of Avram, the second letter of Yitzchok, and the second letter of Yaakov. The third one was Reis Chav Kuf, okay, which is the third letter of Avraham, the third letter of Yitzchok, and the third letter of Yaakov. The fourth banner had Makav, which is the last mem, because they all have four letters except Avram has an extra hey. So if you don't count the hey, because his name originally was Avram, so there were each of the others had four letters corresponding with the 12 tribes. So each Degel had three letters. Yehuda had Aleph, Yud, Yud for Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Reuven had the second letter is Beis, Tzadik, Ayin. The third one is, what do we call it? The third letter is Reish, and Ches, and Kuf, Yaakov, and the last one is Mem, Kuf, Beis.
It says the Hea of Adam's name was represented by the cloud of glory.
Yeah. Right. Like you said, the implication is plain. Only through unity can we spout the names of the patriarchs and earn their merit. So basically, this is the... But you see that everything in the Chumash over here, with these things, they're not stam, flags, and each one had a meaning and a color and represented their level of colors and everything.
What does the wolf represent?
Because he was so Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrov. When Yaakov benched the kids in Parshas Vayechi, a lot of the kids were likened to animals. Yeah, Binyanim Ze'ev Yitrov. Yeah, Binyanim Ze'ev Yitrov. Binyamin is a predatory wolf. Yosef was likened to an ox. Naphtali was likened to a deer. Dan was likened to a snake. Naphtali is a ram. I mean, all these...
A wolf.
What's the quality of a wolf?
Wild dog.
What's so good about a snake?
Right.
And the country says when Mashiach comes, the Pasuk says, the God is the even kevis, that the wolf will live side by side with the lamb. Binyam Ze'ev, as it says, Yitrof, grabs. Okay, grabs. It also teaches, a Jew has to grab, pray. Pray the enemy, not daven pray. They have to grab the enemies. You have to get rid of all the enemies. That's what it means. Okay, so that was the first camp. Dago Machne Ruven, Temana Lisevesim, Ruven was in the south. Venasim Vene Ruven, Elitzim, and Schneerzor, from Kodesh Shishav, and Marmelov, and Meshmer, 46,500. Together with Ruven was Shimon. The head of Shimon was Shlumiel ben Tzri Shaddai. Utzvar, Pukudayam, Tishav, and Chamishim, Elav, and Shvam Meyers. Ushlesh Meyers, 59,300. Okay, this is about the numbers. Al Yosef and Duel. Chamishav, Abraham, Elav, and Shesh Meyers, and Chamishim. Okay, so call up Kodesh Machne Ruven. How much was the sum total of Reuven's camp? Ma'as elef v'echad v'chamishim elef. 151,000. Yehuda was 180 something thousand. 86. This is smaller, 151. Shneim Yisol. They traveled second. Then the Pasuk says, v'nasa oil ma'ed machne alivim etecha machnis. Okay, oh, by the way, one more important thing I forgot to mention. It says in the Medrash, that when Hashem told this all to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know who's on what side. So you know the way Jews are. You tell the guy in the east, he said, why not the west? Yeah. You ask him the west, he'll say, now why not the east? So Moshe knew the Jews very well. Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Medrash said, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, you know what fights you're going to have? Everybody's going to want this and that and that. Hashem said to him, no, there's not going to be any fights. They know before you where to go. They know before you where to go. Because it says in the Medrash that when Yaakov Avinu passed away, it says his children carried the coffin. How did they carry the coffin? Exactly like the camping in the Midbar. Exactly like the camping in the Midbar. So Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, they're not going to even fight about it because this is already precedented. They're going to do it exactly like it was done in the Midbar. I mean, like they did with the Yaakov Avinu.
How did they know it was flawed?
The father told him. It was on YouTube. And he carried him. Okay, so then the Machne Levim traveled. And they traveled after the two tribes. Here he speaks about the aid of Rav outside the camps, and there were one minute. I'm sorry. It seems over here that the animals were outside of the clouds. It seems that they were outside of the camps. Outside of the clouds. And then they had Miriam's well also moved with them.
Oh.
The well, the Miriam's well. No, it says Miriam's well, when the Mishkan had to camp, the Be'er camped exactly in the Shar Chatzer HaMishkan. Okay? Then when they put down the 12 columns out around the well, then the Mayim used to go up and make canals, and it went into the four directions, and it went into the four corners of the Mishkan, And then it went all the way to the tribes. Everybody had the irrigation from Be'er Shomiriam.
Question.
But
you said that I always tried to envision what this was. So, in other words, it was basically they would set up something over this dry piece of land, and then the well water would come up.
No, the well would just they didn't dig. It went with them. There was no digging.
Is there any explanation of what this thing looked like? I mean, how does a well travel? I mean, I can't try to. I'm trying to envision.
How did the mud fall from heaven?
Okay, mm-hmm.
How does the clouds come in? No, it was a miracle. No, it went with them together. No, it went. Be'er Shomiriam hayahelech imam b'maseihem hayamadala and makim chaniyosim. It showed exactly where each camp was supposed to be, because when the well overflowed, so to speak, and it went to each thing, that's where each person had to be.
Was it the rock that was rolling, or?
That was later when he hit the rock, but no, this is already after speaking to the rock. When Miriam died, the well stopped, and that's when Moshe hit the rock instead of speaking to it. But when this is all while Miriam was alive, she died in the 40th year.
So it might be like a rolling rock or something that he rolled.
No, there wasn't a rock. The rock was later when Hashem said to Moshe, "Ben, hit the rock." I mean, talk to the rock, and he hit the rock. Right? Until then, there was no rock. The well of Miriam just traveled with them. When they moved, the well went with them. You ever hear there's a minig of drinking well water Saturday night? You ever hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, where does it come from?
From the refilling of the well coming out of Shabbos.
No, no. It says in Shulchan Aruch, not Rebbe brings it down, that it says that Metzoy Shabbos, the well of Miriam, travels underneath the earth through the wells. And he says, if you drink water from a well Saturday night, and you're lucky that the well of Miriam was exactly there in its travels that Saturday night, when you took it, it was unbelievable bracha.
Lottery.
Some people, they don't, Motzei Shabbat, they don't drink the same water that they have all Shabbat, right?
It's a different reason completely.
What is about this thing?
We're going off topic, but I'll answer your question. That's it. There is an inyan in halacha about not leaving water in a metal container overnight. Okay, it's brought down in halacha that you shouldn't leave water. A lot of people are not careful about it. Okay, just like you don't leave uncovered water, just like you don't leave an uncovered egg, uncovered garlic, uncovered, peeled egg, peeled garlic, okay, peeled onion. So there's an inyan in halacha that says that you don't drink water that was left over in a metal container overnight. So the Velt is makel for Shabbos. You have a kumkum, you know, the urns or the chinik, the kettles. Because Shabbos, holy day, nothing bad can go. But now that Shabbos is over, and that water was overnight Friday night, so a lot of people will not use that water and they'll put up fresh water. There's nothing to do with the well of Miriam.
What about for Negev? It could be metal.
Why do you put the metal? Can't
don't drink it, I said.
Grass or metal?
Metal. In fact, there's a whole story with the Rebbe Marash. They once brought to the table, Shabbos morning, they once brought to the table a metal kettle with hot water in it. And there were a bunch of chassidim there. So the chassidim started talking, oh, it's metal overnight, what is this, what is this? So I don't know if it was Rebbe Marash, if one of the people in the house, called him into the kitchen. And he showed him there was a big glass urn. So the water was left overnight in a glass urn. In the morning, they put to serve it, they poured it into a metal kettle. But it was really a glass urn that they had, but it wasn't metal even Friday night. Okay, anyway, let's go back. Okay, so that's this story. Okay, now he continues and he says, Dagomachne Ephraim, Litzivesim, Yama in the west, Vinasi Livne Ephraim, Elishama ben Amir, the 12 Gudem Aboyim Melech HaShmez, he had 40,500. Together with him was Menashe. Menashe, even though Ephraim was younger, right, but Ephraim was the main Degel, and then Menashe was under him. Gamliel ben Dotzer, 12 Gudem Shnayim, Ashtashim Elef and Masayim, 32,200. Then Binyamin, these are all Rachel's kids. Nasi levnei binyamin avidam begedeni yitzval begedem chamisha elef chamisha ushtoishim elef abameris kol apkudem lemachne Ephraim. How many were in Ephraim altogether? Ma'as elef 100,000, 108,000 and 100, and they traveled third. There's one very interesting thing about the names of Yudke Vovke, that these four things I mentioned corresponded with the four letters of Hashem's name. The Yudke Vovke. Yehuda, the first one was Yud, second one was Hey, third one was Vav, and he connects, this is Chachma. Reuven was Chachma, Yehuda was Chachma, therefore he had Yisachar and all these brilliant people, and then Reuven was the level of Bina, and then the other one was the six fetus, the Vav, and Dan was Ma'asev Chua Machanis, he gathered, like we'll soon learn, so that was the last day of Hashem's name. So everything corresponded with Hashem's throne and the angels and the name of Hashem and everything. Okay. Dago Machani Don Tsefena Litzaveisam. Don was to the north. Venasi Livne Don Achiazib bin Amishadai. Utzvar Fukudem Shnaim Vishishim Elif Shvameis. He had 62,700. Together with him was Asher. The lady of Asher was Pagiel ben Achram. He had 41,500. Naphtali, Nosim, and Tori Achira ben Enon. Utzvor, Fukudayam, Shloishim, Chamishim, Elev, Abameis. 53,400. Kolab Kudim, Machni, Don. Altogether of Don. Was Ma'as, Elev, Vishiva, Chamishim, Elev, Vishishmeis. 157,600. They traveled the last. And they were basically what was called Ma'asiv L'chol HaMachanis. Ma'asiv L'chol HaMachanis means anybody that left, lost something when they were traveling. Don was a lost and found. Mm-hmm. No, really, Don was a lost. They just gathered up all the stuff that they found. And then people came and they claimed it. Okay, one more interesting thing. In Pasuk Yudalid, okay, the leader of God was El Yosef ben Reuel. Okay? Earlier in Bamidbar, he's called Deuel. Not Reuel, Deuel. So the Mepharshim explain, but over there they write, because Reuel is Rayan Kel, thoughts of God, and Deuel is Das Kel, the knowledge of God. Meaning, the Ramban explains, the Rabbeinu B'chai also says this, that this guy, Al Yosef ben Du'uel and Ru'uel, had a great seeing of God and an understanding of God. Ru'ukel means seeing God, okay, and it also means Du'uel, Da. He had a very great level of knowing God and seeing God.
He's from what tribe?
God. The head of God was El Yosef ben Reuel. Okay. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, 736.
Why did you bring up that?
Just because his name is here and it's different than before. Ele b'kudeh b'nei Yisrael aveis aveisum. These are all the Jews together. B'kudeh amachnus is aveisum. How much was the sum total? Sheish me'es elef u'shleishas alofim. 603,550. Valviam lamati avesam. I'm sorry. Valviam lehaspagdu. They were not counted. Kashetiva Hashem es Meisha, like Hashem commanded Meisha. Vayasu bnei Yisrael, and the Yidden did this to tell the greatness of the Jews. The Jews did Kashetiva Hashem es Meisha, the way Hashem commanded Meisha. Kinchanu ledegleihem. That's the way they traveled, and they didn't fight about it for a change. They did exactly what Hashem wanted them to do. They did it properly. and everybody was happy. You know, it doesn't say how long it took to undo the Mishkan. So they did it. Which tribe are we from? Well, the Levites can't live in. Most of us are from Yehuda and Binyamin. Because when the 10 tribes split, the 10 and the 2 split, when the Jewish kingdom split, and the 10 lost tribes, as they're called, so the only 2 unlost tribes were Yehuda and Binyamin. So most Jews today are from Yehuda and Binyamin. Now we don't know who the 10 lost tribes are. There are different rumors. Like there, Rebbe said once in Living Torah, not long ago, he said to Rabbi Lau, that the people in Japan think that they're from the 10 lost tribes.
Japan?
Some people say the Bnei Yisrael, you know, the Indian Bnei Yisrael that they're called. There are different opinions who these 10 lost tribes are.
Why not just assume it's just a big mixture?
Of?
Just everybody, all the tribes.
No, but the 10 lost tribes, they separated themselves from the Jewish people.
Well, they separated, but they... What,
they didn't come back.
Together as one they tribe and went to one place?
Just I don't know. But it's not certain what happened to them historically. But they didn't come back to the Jewish people. So it's a big question, like, where are they now, and who are they, and if they're Jewish, if they're not Jewish.
So we are Yehuda and...
Binyamin primarily, yeah. And Levi.
And Levi.
Because everybody else...
Ethiopian.
Huh?
Ethiopian.
That's the whole question with the Ethiopian Jews and the Bnei Yisrael from India. The whole question with them is, because they left mainstream Judaism earlier on, they didn't have the whole era of Gemara when the oral Torah was basically formulated. So the question is, did they have proper laws of marriage and divorce? Did they have proper laws of a lot of other things? So therefore the question is, number one, are they mamzerim?
Uh-oh.
Are they, pardon the expression, bastards? I don't mean, no, mamzer. Or are they not Jewish? That was the whole question in the halachic world about the Ethiopian Jews and the Bnei Yisrael Jews. And therefore, they were very upset when Rabbi Feinstein came out with a psak that they should all go through conversion. They were very upset with it. But the truth is, it was for their benefit. Because by saying they had to go through conversion, he was basically saying there's no problem of mamzers with them. Which is a bigger problem.
But they wouldn't have been upset if other people were.
They would have been upset if what?
My understanding is that the less observant or whatever Jews explained it to them in such a way that's what caused them to be upset.
Well, it depends how you explain anything to anybody. How do you explain anything to anybody is the difference if you make them upset.
No, if other people hadn't mixed in things that they weren't knowledgeable enough in, it probably would have been fine.
I heard they have the Torah with them, and it was exactly our Torah.
Yeah, but they didn't have the oral Torah, I'm saying. That was the problem. They had the Chumash.
Okay.
Because that they had. But I'm saying the oral tradition of Mishnah and Gemara and all that they didn't have. Because they left the mainstream, they left before that era. So if they didn't have all those laws and everything which was Torah Shebaal Peh, then no question was about the marriages and divorces and conversions and everything else under the sun. That's the issue. Okay.